Chapter 4. The forger Sawada had dug up, the best in the business according to the CEDEF, which were not credentials to sneeze at, hadn't been much to look at. He'd given his name simply as Harper, and had worn about 3 days' stubble and a shirt that had seen much better days. But his eyes had been sharp over the rim of his tea mug, and had only turned sharper as Squallow explained precisely what sort of document he'd wanted forged. He'd set his mug down once Squallow had finished, and smiled, slow and speculative. "You want me to forge orders from the Vongola?" He'd all but sighed it. "This is the job I've been waiting for my whole career." "Can you do it?" Squallow had asked him, not particularly inclined to be patient with somebody else's raptures. Harper had just smiled again, with enough whimsy to it that Squallow had some second thoughts about hiring him. "I suppose we'll have to find out, won't we?" Which had been all fine and good when they were sitting in Xanthus's office talking the job over, but took on a different complexion now that Squallow was holding himself straight and calm behind Sawada's shoulder and feeling sweat prickling down his spine as the bandaged and shrouded Vendicare doorkeeper examined Harper's pièce de résistance. Harper had just pocketed his exorbitant fee and disappeared. He wasn't the one who'd have to deal with the fallout if the damn thing didn't pass Vendicare muster. It was the bandages that were the worst part. The fucking bandages that wrapped around their fucking faces and turned every last one of them into anonymous, mummified menaces. It was no wonder that mothers in the Mafia used the Vendicare to terrify their children into behaving. The doorkeeper brought the letter closer to his face, and Squallow fought to keep his face calm and his breathing steady. Then the man nodded, slow and ponderous. "Wait here," he said, and left them standing right there at the door. Squallow had done a job once that had required him to stand perfectly still for 2 hours while he waited for his target to get done fucking her lover. He'd had to spend it behind a velvet curtain that hadn't been cleaned in a while, with dust tickling his nose and driving him slowly insane with how badly he needed to sneeze and how absolutely imperative it was that he not. Not fidgeting while he waited for the Vendicare, acutely conscious of how the path to the Vendicare's prison wound between 2 high cliff walls, like the most perfect natural kill shoot in the world, was infinitely harder than that job had been. The stakes were a lot higher, too. Squallow gritted his teeth and held steady, wondering how Sawada could possibly seem so calm and unconcerned, and the minutes ticked by like separate eternities. He couldn't help tensing when the ponderous doors of the prison began to creak open again, and his breath stilled in his throat when they had swung wide enough to let him see what was behind them. 2 Vendicare stood in the doorway, and they were holding Xanthus up between them. She was barefoot, wearing a pair of loose drawstring trousers and a white smock, and her hair hung in a damp tangle over her pale face. Her eyes were glazed and unfocused, and her footsteps were unsteady as the Vendicare walked her forward. She was slurring out curses and maledictions with every step. "We release the prisoner Xanthus back into Vongola custody," the Vendicare on the left intoned, his voice sonorous behind his bandages. "Take her and go." If that wasn't a subtle and good riddance, Squallow didn't know what was. Sawada gestured at Squallow as Xanthus lifted her head and fixed her glazed stare on them, apparently having some trouble focusing on what was in front of her. "What the fucking fuck?" she began, as Squallow stepped forward and took her arm. He made a show of checking the rope that they'd used to secure her hands behind her back and bit down on his tongue to keep from hissing at how it was digging into her skin. "As always, the Vongola respects and appreciates the efficiency of the Vendicare," Sawada said, smooth as butter. He turned and gestured again. "Come on, let's get this over with. Bring her." It took everything Squallow had to close his hand on Xanthus's arm and frog march her back down the rocky path that was the only viable approach to the Vendicare's fortress cum prison. Xanthus had stopped swearing and stumbled along in silence. What he could see of her face looked more openly confused than he'd ever seen. She didn't say anything at all until they'd stuffed her into the back seat of the car and Squallow had fitted himself in next to her. What is this? Sawada slipped into the driver's seat. Now that they were all safely behind dark-tinted glass, he was grinning like a little kid. The first ever successful breakout from the Vendicare's prison, I believe. The fuck? She went stiff as Squallow went for the ropes on her wrists, bypassing the knots altogether and sawing them free with his boot knife. Her wrists weren't quite raw beneath, but he hissed anyway at the sight. The anger that had been his constant companion for 3 months surging up again. What? Your fuck? He's with us, boss, Squallow told her. He glanced at the front seat as Sawada turned the key in the ignition and qualified that statement. Sort of, anyway. Xansis turned a glassy stare on him as Sawada put the car in gear and pulled away from the side of the road where they'd parked. Squallow, she said, and then stopped, uncertainty playing over her face. Is this really happening? Christ! Whatever sedatives the Vendicare had been using on her must have been good ones. Squallow nodded. Yeah, boss, it's really happening. He reached for her hand and kissed the back of it. I promise. She stared at him a moment longer. You always say that, she said, half to herself, and shook her head like she was trying to clear it. I'm so tired. Sedatives, Sawada said. Squallow could see him glancing at their reflection in his rearview mirror. They're probably going to take a while to clear out of your system. It might be easiest if you slept it off. We're going to be driving for a while now, anyway. Yeah, Xansis said, after too long a moment. Yeah, okay. She looked back to Squallow, and then sighed. Might as well enjoy it while it lasts. She leaned herself against his shoulder, tucking her face against his throat. Hold me, she commanded. Squallow swallowed hard, something inside his chest twisting in response to that familiar command. Sure thing, boss. He wrapped his arms around her, cradling her against his chest, and felt her sigh. Sawada was still watching them from the rear view. Squallow glared at him, just daring him to say anything. Sawada was smart enough to be the head of the CEDEF and the Vongola's outside advisor. He didn't say a word until Xansis's breathing had changed, going slow and deep. They're pushing for a confirmation by the end of the month. Think she'll be in fighting trim soon enough to stop that? Assuming she decides to go along with that, probably. Squallow kept his voice quiet, matching Sawada's hushed tones, and he stroked the damp strands of Xansis's hair, smoothing them back from her face. She'll do whatever she puts her mind to, but you're the one who has to talk her into it. Fair enough. What he could see of Sawada's expression looked indulgent. Soon as she's had a chance to kick off those sedatives and figure out that this one isn't a dream, we can talk. Yeah, a dream. The holding tanks and sedation. That made sense. He should have thought of that. Yeah, if he hadn't been so taken up with the fact that she was finally out and free, the way she belonged. Well, not that it mattered. She was here and the Vendicare had bought the fake letter from the Ninth saying that she was to be remanded into Vongola hands for execution, and whatever else happened next, he was going to be right at her side where he belonged. Squallow tightened his arms around Xansis, and Sawada drove in silence. They could have gone anywhere, even back to Varia headquarters, but Sawada was almost paranoid enough to be Varia himself, so they didn't. Sawada had made arrangements for them to occupy an isolated little house in the hinterlands that was usually rented out to tourists. Squallow suspected that he hadn't wanted to know what kind of cover story Sawada had put together for them, lest it annoy him into rage on sheer principle. The important part was that it was secluded, not a Vongola property, and would be a good place to hole up while the boss recovered. It was late afternoon by the time Sawada had followed the long and widening drive up to the little house and killed the engine outside it. They looked at the place in mutual silence, Squallow sizing it up for the first time. The same grove of trees that had sheltered it from view from the long drive and the road was wrapped around the house itself, shading it and extending beyond it, up into the hills that surrounded the place. After a moment, Sawada turned to him. "Been a long drive," he said. "I think I'm going to take a walk and stretch out my legs a little." If he'd tried to camouflage that as anything but what it was, Squallow would have been annoyed. As it was, all he could really manage was a mild exasperation with how much of a sap Sawada seemed to be. Christ! The man hadn't stopped sending smiling, doting glances at them once the entire drive. Xansus hadn't moved at all during the ride, but the slam of the car door roused her enough that she made a sleepy sound against his shoulder. Squallow stroked her hair. "Boss," he said, quiet. "Boss, we're here. There's probably a bed inside that'll be more comfortable for you." She muttered against his shoulder, discontent and indistinct, and showed no signs of moving at first. Just when he was beginning to think he was going to need to try something else, he felt her body go tense against his. That was all the warning he got before she was pushing away from him, struggling to get free of his arms. Squallow let go immediately, let her push herself back against the door on the other side of the car. Her eyes were wild. She raked a searing glance around herself, taking in the car, the landscape, the house, and him. "What the fuck?" she demanded, voice hoarse and ragged. "What the fuck is going on?" Squallow held himself very still, hands open and in plain sight. "The Vendicare had you, boss. Sawada and I broke you out a few hours ago. This is sort of a safe house where you can recover and decide what you want to do next." Xansus stared at him, and if she didn't look quite sane, at least the awful glassy look from before had burned away from her eyes. What was left behind was something Squallow hadn't seen for a long time, at least not when she was looking at him. Wariness, distrust, and cut him to the bone. But what else had he expected when he'd been the one to let her get taken? "You're working with Sawada?" "I'd have worked with the devil himself to get you out of there, boss." He couldn't blame her for being suspicious, though, given how closely Sawada normally worked with the Ninth. He's having an argument with the Ninth right now, though. Sort of. He's got something he wants to get out of this, but you don't have to go along with it if you don't want. Sawada was probably pragmatic enough that he'd seen the possibility coming. But he's not working on the Ninth's orders doing this, and neither am I. For whatever that's worth to you. It was almost easy to fall into the careful, measured cadences of a formal status report. Maybe that was reassuring for her, too, because some of the tension eased out of her. "He wants something?" Squallow nodded. "Yeah." Figured that knowing that would make things easier for her. "I think it's worth hearing him out, but it's up to you. You're the boss." Xansus's fingers flexed slowly, though her eyes never left his face. "Am I?" Her voice was soft, hovering on the edge of being very dangerous. "Am I the boss?" They were still sitting in the back seat of the car, which made some things impossible. Squallow did the best he could with the space he had, folding himself into the best approximation of a bow he could manage. "Always, boss," he managed. "You'll always be my boss. I'll belong to you till the day I die, no matter what. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I'm yours and I'll follow you." The seconds that ticked by after that seemed endless. Squallow barely breathed until he felt Xansus's hand settle in his hair, the weight of it light. She didn't say anything, not right away, and then she threaded her fingers through his hair to touch the dangle he'd woven into it. "Is this..." "Didn't want anyone to make the mistake of forgetting who has my loyalty, boss." Squallow closed his eyes as she stroked her fingers over the feathers and spun the bead on its cord. "And I needed something to hold on to that was yours." Xanthus went quiet, her hand stilling against his hair. Squallow held his breath again until she said, "Still mine, then." "Always, boss." Her other hand was right there. He shifted far enough to kiss her knuckles. "I belong to you. I love you." She exhaled. The sound shook and made Squallow, hearing it, ache inside. "And this is real. This time it's not a dream." "No dream, boss." "Maybe. After they were done with Enrico and Salvatore, and whatever she wanted to do with the shitty old man, maybe they could take the Vendicare apart too. Might as well aim for a clean sweep and make the world a better place while they were at it." She didn't say anything else right away. Squallow waited her out, bent nearly double and wondering what he'd see if he were able to watch her face. Finally, she eased her fingers away from his hair. "Okay, let's get the fuck out of this car." Squallow straightened himself up. "Sure thing, boss." He glanced at the loose white cloth of her clothing. "Packed some clothes for you, too. Let me get the bags." If they could treat this like everything was normal, maybe they'd be able to get through this okay. Maybe. She was looking less like she was on the verge of burning the whole world down anyway, so it seemed to be a workable strategy. She nodded and Squallow smiled back at her, tentative, before moving to unload the bags from the trunk and usher her inside. Sawada stayed gone for a good 3 hours, which just showed that the man knew how to use the brains he had, even if he was a sap with a regrettable sense of humor. By the time he came wandering back in, Xanthus had prowled through the whole house, exploring it silently, and had demolished a substantial portion of the food in the kitchen. The uniform that Squallow had packed for her hung loose on her frame, so the food made sense. The way she had marked all the exits and then double and triple-checked them, worried Squallow. She'd also demanded a full status report from Squallow, and had shown no visible reaction to learning that the Vendicare had held her in their tanks for 3 months. She did snarl, once, when Squallow told her that Enrico was now the presumptive heir to the Vongola, and again when he'd sketched in Cavillo's attempts at moving herself up the Varia hierarchy. But that was all, and Squallow didn't know what that meant. Whether she was saving up her rage or something else. Something he was afraid to even think. Sawada came in just before sunset, an amiable smile on his face, and found them sitting in the living room talking. "Looks like the two of you have settled right in," he said, cheerfully ignoring the way Xanthus had gone tense and was glaring at him. "That's good. There anything we're gonna need? I can give the caretakers a call and get them to run up some more supplies if we need them." "What do you want from me?" Xanthus's tone was flat, no inflection to any of the words. Sawada's smile didn't change. "Right to business, huh? Fair enough." He dropped himself into the nearest chair and switched gears as he did, turning sober. "Squallow has briefed you on where the family stands?" "Good. In order to confirm Enrico as 10th, the 9th needs the approval of the outside advisor. I'm not going to give it to him." Zenta's expression as she stared at him didn't really change. "What's that to me?" Sawada was good. If that dismayed him, he didn't let on. "I can't let Enrico have this family." His voice and gaze were steady. "He doesn't understand the point of this family. What Giotto built it to do, and the legacy its bosses have guarded. All he cares about is the power being 10th would give him, and the fact that he's finally getting the respect he feels he's due. He's permitting a mist user to cloud all our brains so he can get what he wants, which is terrifying. Who is this mist user? What else has he slipped inside our heads? How does Enrico know that this fellow has our best interests at heart?" Sawada spread his hands. "The family is in trouble. That's why it matters." "So?" Xanthus's tone was still flat. This is the same family that just dropped me into prison and forgot about me, all for something I didn't even do. The same family that's lied to me since it took me off the streets. It's not even my family, so why the fuck do you think I care what happens to it? It is your family, Sawada said. You come down through the seconds line, but you're Vongola. His expression was sympathetic. Several of us told the Ninth that not telling you was a bad idea, but he felt that there was no need, and no harm in letting you assume that you were his child. He seemed to feel that it made up for all the things you'd been denied as a small child. Her expression didn't even move. Fuck that. That flat, expressionless tone was really starting to worry Squallow. Xansus was never this calm without it being a prelude to a really big explosion. So he felt sorry for me. Doesn't change what he did. No, it doesn't. Sawada leaned forward to rest his elbows on his knees. What if you thought about it like this? The one thing Enrico wants more than anything in this world is to be 10th. I'm offering you a chance to deny him that. Not just deny it to him. Take it yourself, if you like. If you don't, all you need to do is hold it for a few years until we can figure out which one of the kids will have the aptitude for it. That's all I ask. Xansus blinked. Slow. You're asking me to be 10th. She betrayed the first hint of emotion then. Incredulity. You must be joking. That shitty old man would never allow it. Her lips stretched, curving into a bitter smirk. It's not very ladylike, is it? Doesn't much matter, is the thing. Sawada shrugged. If I propose a candidate and he proposes a candidate, then what happens then is governed by tradition and proctor instead of personal whim. The two candidates and their guardians go through a trial to determine who should be heir. Winner takes the rings, the Vongola, and the loser serves. He pauses, almost delicately. If he survives. Xansus laughed, short and sharp. Oh no. You did not just tell me I could kill that fucker in this trial of yours and no one would blink at it. Actually, I think I rather did. Sawada lost any pretense of a smile he might have had, and his eyes went hard. He killed Frederico, who had the potential to be one of the best bosses we've had in generations, all because he couldn't stand being passed over. He's not half the boss Frederico would have been. He's not half the boss you are. He raised an eyebrow at the sharp look Xansus gave him. You're a good boss. The Varia are flourishing under your leadership. You take excellent care of whatever you've decided is yours. Why shouldn't I hope that you would be just as good for the Vongola as a whole? Xansus's expression went stony. Because the Vongola isn't mine. That's been made very clear to me. It could be, Sawada said. If you wanted it to. Xansus gave Sawada a long look before she said, eyes never wavering from Sawada's face, Squallow. Squallow took a deep breath to steady himself against the fact that she was still willing to ask for his input, still willing to let him tell her what was true and what wasn't, and his relief at that. I'll follow you, boss. Whatever you want to do. Best get that established right up front. You could do it. You're strong enough for it. And I can't think of a better way to rub that old man's face in what he's done. And people would follow you. You burn, boss, like a beacon. He took another breath, thinking over what he'd seen in the handful of meetings he'd sat in on. And I don't want to live in a family that would let Enrico lead it. He's not smart enough, is the thing. He does stupid, aggressive things because they're easy, or he sees the opportunity but not the cost. He doesn't think in the long term. He doesn't respect the individual parts of the family or their traditions. For fuck's sake, he thought the Ninth could tell the Varia who ought to lead it. He glanced at Sawada and sighed. But that's all good for the Varia. If you do this, there's not much that'll be good for you. Maybe it's all intangible and I can't see what you're going to get out of it, but it's probably going to be hard and thankless. But if you decide to do it, I'll back you all the way. Sawada was smart enough to leave well enough alone and didn't try to add anything else, either to make his case or dispute anything Squallow had just said. Xanthus didn't say anything in reply. After a moment, she stood up and walked out of the room. "Probably needs to think," Squallow said, trying not to fidget over the fact that she was out of his sight. When Sawada raised his eyebrows at that silent departure. "There might be more rewards in it for her than you think," Sawada said, accepting that. "You didn't have to undersell it so hard." Actually, he had. But Squallow didn't bother trying to explain that. Better to tell her the grim facts as they were than to paint them all golden and pretty and false, which was something the Ninth needed to learn. Probably would, too, one way or another. Xanthus stayed gone for a while. Darkness fell over the house and the moon rose before she came back. Sawada opened a bottle of wine while they waited. Squallow ignored the glass the man poured out for him and passed the time by pacing, trying not to be twitchy about where Xanthus was or how long she'd absented herself. When she came back, her expression was set and grim. "What does this trial involve?" she asked, abrupt, offering no excuse for her absence and no preamble to her question. "Fighting," Sawada said. "They're administered by the Cervello. Each of the would-be guardians gets one half of a ring, and so do the two heirs. They have to fight to get the other halves." He hesitated briefly. "The fights are conducted one-on-one, and the winner is... part of it is which side comes out with the majority of the rings in the end, or so tradition says. But the only times it's ever come to a trial like this, one of the heirs has won so decisively that the number of rings hasn't really mattered." Something like a smile touched Xanthus's mouth. "Fighting." There was a note of obscure satisfaction in the way she'd pronounced it. "Aren't you forgetting something?" When Sawada blinked, she said, "I don't have guardians." "You already have a rein," Sawada countered. He jerked his chin Squallow's way. "Or what's he? Chopped liver?" "I have some ideas about the rest, boss, if you want them," Squallow offered when she turned faintly disbelieving eyes on him. "Levy's a little young, but he's all yours if you want him for lightning. Kala's a cloud, but I think she'll stand up for you. That's three right there." He was pretty sure of Lusuria for sun, too. Mist and storm, he didn't quite know yet. Mammon was... well, he was Mammon, the greedy little shit. And they had several strong storms, but none that he could think of offhand who were particularly loyal to Xanthus. All that was a problem that depended on her saying yes, of course. Xanthus looked at him, holding his eyes, and for the life of him, he couldn't have said what it was she was thinking. Then she looked away, to Sawada. "If I walk into a fight with Enrico Vongola, only one of us is going to walk away again. You get that, right?" Sawada didn't flinch from the steel in her eyes, which was one mark in his favor. "That's also an acceptable way of ending the trial," she grunted. "Long as we have that clear." "Perfectly." Sawada went quiet, maybe waiting for her to say something else. But she didn't. She lapsed into silence. Her gaze turned inward, focused on something only she could see. He cleared his throat. "So you're willing to do it?" Xanthus's lip curled. "I don't think I have much of a choice, do I?" "There's always a choice." Sawada's voice was quiet. But just for a moment, Squallow could see the Vongola blood he'd claimed in this man. "The options may not always be good ones, but there's always a choice." Xanthus looked away from him. "Whatever. You know I can't say no." Squallow frowned. The hell she couldn't. But Sawada beat him to it. "You could, but I'm glad you're not." She didn't actually say anything to that. After a moment, Sawada sighed. We don't have long before Enrico pushes us into declaring him the heir. How soon can you be ready for him? I could take him right now. Xanthus showed her teeth when Sawada gave her a frankly skeptical look. I could. Her eyes burned hot. His flame was never half as strong as mine. And that was only the truth, as far as Squallow knew. And if it isn't a fight based on the flame? Sawada asked. Xanthus growled and Squallow held his breath, not having heard much sanity in the sound. But after a moment, she said, 2 weeks. Sawada nodded. 2 weeks it is. I can stall for that long easily enough. We'll settle on your guardians and start things moving when you're ready. She nodded, and that was that, apparently. Sawada stood. Okay. He beamed at them both. I'm beat. See you in the morning. Don't stay up too late. He winked at them and sauntered out, making for the bedrooms at the back of the building and leaving them alone again. Squallow sat quietly, watching her. Her expression had withdrawn again, gone far away from him. He knotted his fingers together, acid rage etching his soul. They hadn't just stolen time from her, they'd stolen other things too. God knew how much. And he was going to see them all burn for it. So, Frederica was telling the truth after all. The words plunked out, breaking their silence. Xanthus still wasn't looking at him or anything he could see, and her voice was harsh. Guess he was, yeah. Squallow didn't know what he felt about that, exactly. Hadn't really had the time or inclination to think about it. Didn't matter too much to him, except it mattered to her. And so, figures that Enrico would go for the only ones who were worth a damn. Xanthus's eyes flicked up and he recognized the expression. It was the one that meant she was confused on some point, but didn't want to ask for clarification. You and Frederico, boss. He reached for his glass of wine and tipped some of it down his throat. You're the only two of them worth the name. Easy enough to be generous to Frederico now. Nil nisi bonum and all that. He saw her throat move like she was swallowing something down. Squallow just shrugged at her. It was the truth. And after a moment, she moved, turning away from him. I'm going to bed. Squallow sucked in a breath. He'd been dreading this since their first conversation in the car, when he'd seen the wildness and distrust in her eyes. We've got 3 bedrooms, boss. He looked up at her as frankly as he could manage, when she glanced over her shoulder at him. Want me to come with you or not? Xanthus gave him another of those looks he didn't know how to read. Was going to have to learn how to read if it killed him. And he tried not to think that it might, when it had been that it wouldn't. One more thing to lay at the 9th and Enrico's feet. Come on, she said. The wash of relief made him dizzy. Yes, boss. He pushed himself to his feet. Anything you want. Xanthus opened her mouth like there was something she wanted to say, but changed her mind and left it unsaid. She turned away after a moment and headed for the bedrooms. Squallow followed after her, because that was the only thing he knew to do. Xanthus threw herself into training at first light the next morning, which meant that the evening was the last the three of them talked about anything, really, beyond a few Quotidian exchanges regarding food or the weather for several days. Xanthus never had been chatty before, exactly, but now she was positively taciturn. She worked out in grim silence, running through the trees and hills, and improvising weights, and doing things that weren't quite kata. She'd never picked up any of the formal styles, far as Squallow knew, but were the next best thing for her idiosyncratic style of fighting. Squallow kept pace with her to make sure she wasn't overworking herself after months of being held in the Vendicare's damn tanks. Or that was his excuse, even after the first wobbly days had passed, and it was clear that she wasn't going to be collapsing of overexertion. She drove herself all day until it was too dark to see, and then collapsed into bed to sleep like the dead before getting up and doing it all over again. Considering the way her first night of freedom had been filled with nightmares, Squallow suspected that the pace she'd set herself wasn't entirely about Enrico. It was one more thing to add to the list of things for which Enrico and his father were responsible. One more thing they were going to have to pay for. He was going to enjoy the day when it came for them to settle up. It was coming, and fast. Xanthus showed herself no mercy and regained her strength and edge at a pace that should have been impossible, but was simply her. She rounded on Squallow an afternoon a scant 10 days after they'd gotten her out, startling him into an impromptu sparring match that harried him through the trees and behind the house. And Squallow found that he needed all his skill to keep up with her. That realization unknotted one more of his fears as they ducked and ran between the trees, her hunting him and him using the cover of the trunks to dodge blasts of flame. Squallow found himself laughing for the first time in months as they closed with each other again, even as she turned aside the edge of his blade and came up inside his guard to land a fist in his gut and drive him down to the ground as the breath gusted out of him. He sprawled in the dirt, breathless with that, and the relief bubbling through him. She was back, and grinned up at her as she pinned him. She tucked the muzzle of her gun under his chin, her eyes dark and wild and the laughter still in his throat. "Boss," he said, conscious of her finger resting against the trigger. He swallowed, feeling the heat of the metal digging into his skin as his throat bobbed, and lay very still. The wildness in her eyes didn't ease exactly, but it changed subtly. She changed the angle of the gun, ran the muzzle along his jaw, watching him all the while. "You'd still let me do it, wouldn't you? If that's what you wanted, boss." He lay perfectly still, barely even drawing breath. "I'm all yours, if that's what you want." He bit his lip as the muzzle pressed against his skin and stopped at the soft skin under his ear, where a bullet would shatter everything in one shot. "I know I failed you. If this is what you want, it's... I can't say I haven't earned it." Xanthus stared down at him, and Squallow held his breath. Even the insects and the birds and the trees seemed to have gone silent as he waited for her to decide. Or maybe it was just the blood rushing in his ears that drowned out all other sound. A line appeared between her eyebrows as she frowned down at him. "Failed me." He didn't dare nod, so he wet his lips instead. "I let them take you. I didn't see them coming. I didn't stop them. I didn't even fight them. I should have. I should have died before I let them lay a hand on you." There, he'd finally said it. All the things that had gnawed on him since the moment he'd woken up on the floor of the Vadia's front hall and puked his guts up. "I'm sorry, boss." Something twisted in her eyes, there and gone before he knew what it was. He had a gun on you. He would have killed you before you could have done anything." Squallow managed to shake his head, the barest fraction of a movement protesting that. "It doesn't matter. I should have tried anyway. They had you, boss, and I let them." Whatever it was moved in her eyes again. "You stupid bastard." She took the gun away, shoving it into its holster, and grabbed his collar to shake him. "I gave you orders about getting yourself shot." She had, and they'd been what had kept him from acting, and had kept him up countless nights since. "It doesn't matter. Boss, you... My place is keeping you safe. Nothing else is more important than that. And I didn't." Xanthus growled something, eyes glittering with a more recognizable kind of anger. "You were wrong." She shook him again and dropped him. Squallow saw stars when his head hit the ground. You didn't fail me. Get that out of your stupid fucking head. She ran her fingers through her hair, raking it back from her face. There were more of them than there were of me. Even if you'd tried something, they would have killed you, and I still would have... It wouldn't have mattered. But then who would have gotten me out afterwards? It felt like she'd punched him again, in a way, knocking him senseless. Squallow stared at her, lost. You... But... She scowled at him, eyes snapping. I don't want you dead, idiot. Get that through your fucking head. Squallow couldn't help the way that shook him, unknotting something else in his chest. Part of the way. Only part of the way. Because there was no way he was going to forgive himself for not having protected her. Boss, he breathed. She looked at him, eyes dark, and touched his jaw, cupping it in her palm. Got a name. Squallow swallowed hard at that, at the way her voice had dropped, and raised a shaking hand to cover hers. Xanthus. He hadn't said it since that first conversation in the car, hadn't dared to, and now it tasted sweet on his tongue. Xanthus exhaled. Yeah. Squallow looked up at her, the new shadows that lurked in her eyes, the places where her cheeks were still too thin. It wasn't fair. Not that the universe seemed to care much about that. And turned his face to kiss her palm. Still yours, Xanthus. Heart and body and soul. Which reminded him about the last time he'd said that, surprising a breath of a chuckle out of him. Swore it on the old man's ring, even. The sound she made was a dangerous one, but he was pretty sure it wasn't aimed at him. What? He wanted to know whether I still served him after, and I told him I served the blood of the Vongola. Squallow grinned up at her. Not my fault if he didn't ask what I meant by that, is it? He wasn't sure that she'd appreciate the joke, but after a second's hesitation, she snorted. I guess not. She ran her thumb over his cheek. But still mine, even after all that? Not for the first time, he wondered what had gone on while she was inside the Vendicate's walls. What had happened to her? She hadn't breathed a word of it. Might never, if he knew her. Just like she never said a word about her life before the Vongola. But that was her decision to make. So he stroked his fingers along the back of hers. Always. Nothing's gonna change that. Not ever. Xanthus sighed. He thought that maybe some of the shadows in her eyes eased with that promise. Squallow. Her weight had him pressed against the ground and kept him pinned there when she leaned down to kiss him. Squallow sighed into her mouth, the fear that she wasn't going to want this from him slipping away as she pressed her mouth against his and stroked her tongue between his lips. God only knew where Sawada was, not to mention the fact that carrying on in clear earshot of the house wasn't the best idea ever. But Xanthus's kiss turned hotter anyway, more demanding, and suddenly none of that mattered anymore. Heat throbbed through Squallow, surging up with a vengeance as Xanthus nipped at his lower lip. Xanthus, he said, as she shifted over him, straddling his hips and planting her hands on his shoulders, holding him in place beneath her. He gestured towards her hips, and the skirt beginning to ride up her thighs. Please? Can I? He barely caught her shiver. It was so tiny, but her voice was hoarse when she said, Not this time. Next time. Squallow closed his eyes and forced himself to subside under her, doing his best to melt into the earth beneath his shoulders, instead of leaping up to go kill every last bandaged freak the Vendicate could claim as their own. Anything you want, he told her, once he'd gotten a grip on himself. Anything at all. Xanthus's sigh brushed against his mouth before she kissed him again. Squallow surrendered himself to that, opening his mouth to hers and moaning at the ruthless way she pressed her advantage, still poised above him and pinning his shoulders beneath her hands as she kissed him, until his cock was aching with how hard he was, and she was breathless. He groaned his relief when she reached down to undo his fly, and shivered when she settled back on her heels. It was a struggle to hold himself still when she slid a hand under the hem of her skirt. He couldn't see anything except for the flush that rose over her throat and cheeks, the look of concentration in her eyes, and the way she caught a lip between her teeth as her wrist flexed back and forth. But that was all enough in its own way. The fact that she was here at all, that she still wanted this with him, whatever had happened before, that was more than enough. He had to sink his fingers into the earth over his head when she finally reached for him, taking his cock in wet fingers as she raised herself up over him and guided him against her. He gasped her name, sweat slicking his skin as he held himself still for her, not rocking himself up into the slick heat of her body, and shuddered when she finally settled herself over him. Her eyes closed and her expression swept clean and open. Xanthus opened her eyes after an endless moment and looked down at him, saying his name softly. She bent down to him, sighing as they ground against each other, and caught his hands to pin them against the ground as she kissed him again. Squallow groaned for her as she began to move against him, rocking her hips back and forth, taking her pleasure from him at her own pace, until he was panting against her mouth from the way pleasure was firing along his every nerve. She made soft sounds against his lips, and the first slow rhythm of her hips picked up speed, turning urgent all too quickly, until she lifted a hand away from his wrists and reached down between them again. The sound she made against his mouth when she came was nearly a groan, low and hoarse. Squallow lost it as her body closed and rippled around his, hips driving up against hers as he fell over the edge after her. Xanthus caught herself over him, breathing hard. When Squallow opened the eyes he hadn't realized he'd closed, he saw that she was looking at him. If her eyes were dark, at least they were focused on him and this moment. Whatever she saw as he looked back at her seemed to please her, because her mouth softened. "Mine," she said, letting go of him and touching his cheek again. Squallow nodded. "Yours," he agreed, turning his face to kiss her fingertips. "I love you." She didn't say anything in reply, but leaned down and pressed her mouth against his again, long and slow, which was better than anything she could have said. And she didn't freeze when Squallow lifted a hand to thread through her hair either, which spoke louder than anything else. When she finally pulled away from him, her eyes were clearer than they had been since before. "Come on," she said. "Let's tell Sawada that it's time." Squallow took a breath and gave her the only possible reply. "Yes, boss. Anything you say." As far as anyone at the main house knew, Squallow was still in Florence, putting the fear of him and the Vongola in the Orsini. Since that was something that Lametti and his mist partner were handling in his stead, it made for a circumspect sort of homecoming. Given how tense Xanthus was, which was understandable given the operation they were about to launch as soon as Sawada got his hands on his half of the rings, perhaps it was just as well that they made use of one of the back doors into headquarters, the one that came up through the wine cellars. Thus, Xanthus's first homecoming was remarked only by the two standing sentries in the cellars. "Hey, boss," Omar said casual, as Squallow emerged from the door hidden behind the third wine rack from the southwest corner. Then Xanthus stepped out after Squallow, and he dropped the handful of cards he'd been holding. "Holy shit, boss!" His partner, Vera, was more taciturn and had a far greater presence of mind. She tried to shuffle the evidence of their card game to the side as Xanthus swept her gaze over them both. "Welcome back, boss." Xanthus ignored both the standard greeting and the non-standard one and focused on the cards, frowning hard at them. "Aren't you supposed to be on sentry duty?" She hadn't been gone for so long that either Omar or Vera had forgotten that chilly tone. They went white and nervous and drew themselves up to attention. "Yes, boss," they chorused. "Then what the fuck are those?" Xanthus swept on without waiting for an answer. "Are you Vadia or not? Get those out of my sight, you fucking trash." Wasn't a good idea to grin in front of the subordinates, who were being dressed down. So Squallow bit down on the inside of his cheek to keep his face straight. Omar and Vera hustled to get the cards out of sight under Xanthus's blistering gaze. They probably didn't want to be an object lesson, but it was their own damn fault. And more importantly, they were making it very clear that Xanthus was back, or would, once they'd gone off duty. Same difference. "If I catch you playing cards on duty again, I'll make you wish you'd never been born," Xanthus informed them once the cards had been put away, and prowled past them, gait smooth and elegantly dangerous. Squallow paused just long enough to add, "Hope you kids enjoy guard duty, because you're on it for the next month," before following after her. Lusuria was as good as his word. He'd promised to have things arranged for Squallow before he'd left with Sawada, and had gotten the squad leaders wrangled into the mission room for them, which meant everyone was in the right place when Xanthus strode in and dropped herself into her chair at the head of the table with her usual feline grace. "All right," she said, over the sound of Lusuria's cackling laughter and Sarah's sputtering. "I'm back." She shot a look at Cavillo, who had gone white and angry. "Any of you got a problem with that?" Lusuria abandoned the seat at her right hand, and Squallow claimed it. Most of them were looking at Cavillo, actually, and she wasn't so pissed that she didn't recognize the fact. Her lip curled, and she spread her hands in front of her. "Who could have a problem?" Her smile turned thin and sardonic. "The Vadia just hasn't been the same since you left." Xanthus gave her a hard look, and then smirked. "Damn straight it hasn't." She leaned back in her chair, crossed one leg over the other. "All right, listen up, people. Things are about to get exciting around here. The Ninth needs himself an heir to take over whenever he kicks off. That fucker Enrico thinks it ought to be him, and I'd rather shoot myself than let that happen." A little stir ran around the table as she made her stance clear, and Levy cleared his throat.
"If you don't want him to be boss, then what are you going to do about it?"
Bless Levy's politically naive heart. Squallow folded his arms across his chest and smirked as Seta rolled her eyes. "What do you think she's going to do?" she grinned. "Enrico's a dead man walking." She narrowed her eyes at Xanthus. "What I want to know is who you've got in mind to take his place." Xanthus shrugged. "Seems like I'm going to need myself a set of guardians." The room went the kind of quiet that only came when a group of people were collectively holding their breaths. Kala was the first to break it. She laid her hands on the table, spreading them in front of her, and said, voice even and sure, "I would stand as your cloud, boss." Xanthus nodded.
"I thought you would."
She glanced at Levy.
"How about you?"
Levy's eyes had gone round as coins as the implications of that sank in for him.
"Boss, I... yes, of course, anything you want," he stuttered,
pretty much the way Squallow'd expected him to. Xanthus was already nodding, looking past him to Lusuria, who was grinning from ear to ear.
"You?"
"The Vongola never had as fabulous a son as me," he assured her. "Be delighted, boss."
Which brought them to Cavillo, who was just about the strongest storm the Vadia had at the moment, and was the sticky point. One of them. Squallow spared another moment to wish that kid Belphegor was just a few years older and a shade less psychopathic, as Cavillo and Xanthus locked gazes again. Calculation narrowed in Cavillo's eyes.
"So," Xanthus said after a moment of that, "what's it going to be?"
Cavillo drummed restless fingers against the table. Squallow could just about see the gears turning in her head. How did being the tenth storm stack up against her desire to lead the Vadia? After a long minute, Cavillo pursed her lips and shrugged. "You need a storm, I'll be it." She didn't look quite Squallow's way,
But he'd have bet anything that she was thinking about who would hold the Varia after Xanthus was getting on, being the 10th, and Squalla was busy being her right hand. They would just have to burn that bridge once they got to it, though. There were too many other things that needed attention in the here and now to borrow trouble from the future. Xanthus looked at Mammon and Sarah next. "I need a mist," she said, "and whichever one of you it ends up being is going to have to face this asshole Salvatore. Which one of you wants it?" Huh. He hadn't actually thought she'd leave the choice to them. Mammon and Sarah glanced at each other. After a moment of them communicating silently, Sarah tilted her head to the side and said, tone neutral, "You're stronger."
"I have other concerns."
Mammon's voice was equally uninflected.
"Long-term ones."
Sarah's mouth curved faintly. "How about I contract it to you? One fight and we switch off after the dust settles." Mammon went silent, considering it.
"How much?"
"Standard fees," she offered, eyes gleaming. "Plus the satisfaction of grinding Salvatore into paste." Mammon mulled that over, lifting one tiny hand almost absently to touch whatever it was that hung beneath his robe.
"I suppose that would be acceptable."
"Done then." Having concluded their negotiations, Sarah flashed a sharp smile up the table. "Work for you, boss?" Xanthus snorted. "Works for me." She looked to Squalla last. "And you?" Squalla inclined his head. "You know I will, boss." Had to make it formal, after all, even if there hadn't been any question where he would stand. "All right, then." Xanthus looked around the table, expression too neutral to give away whatever it was she was thinking. Then she nodded, short. "Here's how it's gonna work. They're gonna push for an official confirmation ceremony for Enrico. When that happens, Sawada's gonna grab his half of the rings and bring them to us. At that point, it goes to the Cervello to arbitrate, and we'll fight to claim the other half of the rings." She paused. "I don't care how your fights go, with one exception. I want Salvatore dead, and I'm going to kill Enrico." Squalla considered it for a moment, in the little silence after that. The considering, reflective pause as they absorbed that. "Might be best to make a clean sweep of it, boss. I don't know that you're going to want to leave them alive behind you." She frowned, but Lusuria chimed in too, rubbing his chin.
"Considering who he's pulled for his guardians, yeah, I'm with Squalla on that one. Leaving them alive is akin to asking for trouble."
He shrugged. "The good news is that none of them can fight his way out of a wet paper bag." "The bad news is that most of them play politics," Sarah said. "Won't stick a knife in your back, not unless they thought they could get away with it. But manipulate someone else into doing it for them? Yeah, they're the kind that would be all over that." Xanthus pressed her lips together, probably more because they were arguing than because she cared whether they killed Enrico's guardians or not. But no one lasted as a squad leader without having at least a few brains and a modicum of common sense. "Fine. Put them down if it'll make you feel better. Doesn't matter to me." Squalla eyed them, but it didn't look like he'd need to make sure that any of them would misinterpret that. Well, Varia. The real challenge would have been trying to keep them from killing their prospective opponents. Just as well that he didn't have to try. Xanthus leaned back in her seat. "All right, that's that. Figure out who you're going to be facing and prep it like a mission." She opened her hand then. "Now, fill me in, people. Status reports on what I've missed. Lusuria, how's first squad looking?" Another piece of tension Squalla had been carrying melted away, as Lusuria blinked and switched gears into an update on first squad's activities during Xanthus's imprisonment. Yeah, Xanthus was home, and one more piece of things was back where it belonged.